President of the table is Co-Chair Kelly, Senator Lehman, Senator Hoffman, Senator Ostman, Senator Green, Senator Donnelly. And we're going to be working on House Bill 117 today. That's the fast track supplemental as it came from the House. We're not moving this legislation at this time, but we were going to take public testimony on it and discuss the changes made by the House. So what I'd like to do is start, since we've already had hearings on the original proposal, to just go through and identify those additions that were made in the House side and to have an explanation of those offered by anybody who wants to do so, and secondly, then to go into a public testimony phase on that. So with that, looking at the Fast Track Supplemental, the first addition was in for a grant to Arctic Power. And is there anybody here specifically to testify on the Arctic Power grant? Anybody on?
Public testimony.
Yeah, public testimony would be fine.
Okay.
You want to just come forward? Did you sign in?
Yes.
Okay. If you try to limit your comments to about 3 minutes, it'd really be helpful.
Oh, that would be fine. Okay, for the record, my name is Heather Roush, and I'm here as a volunteer to Alaska Conservation voters. But I'm testifying today just as a public citizen because I have a few concerns with the appropriation. And my first is I've been looking into the information, the public information available on it, and I haven't found any way to measure Arctic Power's effectiveness or have any sort of accountability. I understand that, you know, part of the nature of what they're, you know, what they're doing, but, you know, there has to be at some point where it's not in the state's interest to continue giving them money. And so I just want to find out how to measure that point or how to come upon, you know, find that point. And as a citizen, how can I find that out? And then kind of along those same lines, I have two additional concerns. And one is the fast-track manner of the bill. I understand the need for it to be, you know, fast-tracked at the time of opportunity, but at the same time, I, you know, believe that the appropriation needs to have the same kind of scrutiny or comparison as everything else in the budget. You know, I think there's definitely concerns in the state budget that this would need to be compared to. And then I also just have a question on if it is a fast track and it's needed to be received in such a timely manner, then why is there such a long lapse date on the appropriation? And, you know, also I know that there's still, you know, some money in the budget or that Arctic Power has on hand. And so I wonder, you know, if that has any effect on the need for it being, the need for them getting it so fast, as well as, is there any matching requirement? I see the state kind of increasing their efforts, you know, to Arctic Power, but is the industry and Arctic Power's other members increasing their, you know, effort as well? My final concern is goes along the lines of a lapse of interest in opening the refuge, and I see it kind of back to that point of to what end are we going to, you know, support them, or how can we regulate? At what point is no longer advantageous for us to do that? And so I first addressed this in concerns of money. My other concern is Alaskan interest, you know, the talking about the 90-10 split, or, you know, what kind of regulations in opening the refuge would require Alaska, you know, to benefit Alaskans, providing them jobs. And so my other question would be, you know, not only how much money are we going to sacrifice, but what Alaskan interests are we willing to sacrifice, and how can we regulate this in regards to Arctic Power?
Okay. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
We have some people signed up along teleconference line, and the note I was handed says Kenai, the Kenai LIO. So why don't we go to the Kenai LIO? If we've got this many people testify, we're probably going to have to limit testimony to about 2 minutes each. So, is David Martin in Kenai? Oh, Kenai, can you hear us?
Well, then we'll...
Is David Martin there?
Yes.
Okay, do you want to go ahead and proceed? We're dealing with House Bill 117.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is David Martin. I live in Clam Gulch and represent the Cook Inlet Fisherman Fund. I've been a 30-year fisherman in Cook Inlet. I've been involved in the Board of Fish and Quarry Game Advisory Committee process for about the same length as current chairman of the Advisory Committee in Elche.
Okay, David, just for the committee's benefit, David's testifying on Section 7 of the bill, Section 4 of the bill, Item 7 on the flow sheet, and they've had a problem with their equipment there, so they weren't able to send us a list of who's testifying on what, and the initial list I got said it was on Arctic Power, but that's okay. So just to summarize, are you for or against this particular section of the legislation? Is it a long paragraph?
Well, I can summarize it, and basically what it says is the commissioner says that his decision and the directors from the department that they will cease all involvement with the federal fed and subsistence issues because of the funding. They're not going to put any more state funding into it. And it says the state advisory committees who are scheduled to meet this spring to remove any federal issues from their agenda. No comments or positions. A state AC will be forwarded to the federal staff.
Okay, if you want to have give that to the staff there at the LIO, they can fax us a copy of that, okay?
Yeah, I would.
Okay.
That's another reason why state money shouldn't be put into
All right, thank you very much, Mr. Martin.
Thank you.
We're going on to Bob Merchant. And that also was a change in the original legislation that was made by the House, that reappropriation section number 4 that he was testifying to. Okay, you want to proceed?
Completion of this river study, which has now
Okay, so, all right. Chris Garcia?
Yes, my name is Chris Garcia. I live in Kenai, and I'm here representing Kim Fisher & Son. I sent you guys three other correspondents on the telecommerce by the way outright. And I assume that you've received the comments. What I'd like to say today is I believe that by now most of you are aware that there's some misinformation associated with this appropriation. Money is not coming from federal receipts to the Department of Fish and Game for the 1998 budget for the whole way setting up the Kenai River, which for some reason the government does not want done. Perhaps you fear the outcome of this study. One other point I would like to make is what is the meaning for households and citizens? We have survived a long time without. I do not feel the Board of Fish needs to address this issue. I think we should show. If this issue gives another Bob Payne to him from the street of killing commercial fishermen, if what I have heard is true, Mr. Payne wants to start a subsistence salmon fishery of 20 fish a day per person for the entire season. Would these numbers be taken away from the commercial float? Let's say the season is 90 days long. That means one person could harvest 1,800 fish. At 20-pound average, that would be 36,000 pounds of fish. At a 30-pound average, it would be 54,000 pounds of fish. Another example would be 100,000 people fishing for 10 days. Each limited out those 10 days at 20-pound average, that would be 40 million pounds of fish. I think it's time for the legislature to step in and stop this nonsense. They're appropriating money to do regulations for subsistence halibut. I honestly do not feel we need that in this state. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Garcia. Is that Paul Udura?
Yes, I'm right here.
Go ahead. Acting inappropriate. I think that I have three more people signed up to testify in Kenai. Drew Sparling.
Thank you, Chair. I'm members of the committee. This is Drew Sparling. I'm the Secretary of Cook and Aquaculture Association. I'm also a representative of that association to the UFA. I'm here to speak on behalf of the positions that have been formulated before you today concerning 117. And we are, as an association, recognize the need to much scientific study as possible so we can better manage our resources. We need your help to make sure this money gets back to Bob's place. And I'll be very brief. I see positions around this table, and I see people who travel up to 50 miles to get here to speak to you. So this is a very, very serious issue. And these people are serious about.
Thank you. John EFTA, E-F-T-A is what they sent me here. John, so sorry if I mispronounced it.
Yes, right. I'd just like to say, too, that I'd like to see the money that we're referring to back to the original intent. I'd also like to comment that I believe that Board of Fish is supposed to be a regulatory body. Anybody out there in Kenai that wants to testify? Anybody else out there on the teleconference network that wants to testify on any of the other elements of House Bill 117? Okay, then we'll come back here to Juneau. As long as we're on Section 4, Mr. Coffey, did you want to?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Dan Coffey. I'm chairman of the Board of Fisheries. I'm glad I came down here because I hope to bring a little bit of clarity to what's going on, and I can see there's a lot of misunderstanding here. A couple of points quickly. First of all, this has nothing to do with the Federal Subsistence Board. This has to do with the board's relationship with the North Pacific Council, which manages halibut fisheries through the International Halibut Commission. So we're not talking a Federal Subsistence Board. It's also the board is reacting to actions taken by the North Council, which have impacts on state waters fisheries, sport fisheries, and commercial fisheries in state waters, and it's acting in response to requests from stakeholders in the various fisheries to have a process that will allow development of both local area management plans and subsistence regulations that will be more, first of all, more geographically specific, and secondly, will reflect local interests to a degree that the council can't do. The council regulates in two huge areas, 2C and 3A, which, for example, encompass from Cook Inlet through Prince William Sound, Seward, Kodiak, and out down the Aleutian Chain. Now, that's a huge area, and the differences in the fisheries in those areas are tremendous. So what started 2 years ago was a joint effort between the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council and the Board of Fish, whereby the board would undertake its usual process of public hearings and make recommendations to the North Council based upon a consensus of the various fishing communities as to how local area management plans might be developed. And I say might be developed. First of all, the protocol calls for them to be consensus-driven, which means that sport, subsistence, personal use, guided, commercial, all have to agree. The model for this was what the folks in Sitka did. And they did that. It took about 4 or 5 years, and it was finally adopted into regulation by the North Council. And it was done through the auspices of the local people and with some assistance from the Board of Fisheries. To make that a more regularized process available statewide, the Council and the Board agreed that this would be an appropriate way in which to proceed. The matter was underway and has been underway for about a year and a half or 2 years with a one-year hiatus. And the reason for the hiatus was we didn't have any money to continue the public process. And that's what stopped us a year ago. Now, we've got something moving. We've had proposals from Kodiak. We've had proposals from Cook Inlet. We've heard from Seward. We've heard from Prince William Sound, Cordova, and others, all who have expressed an interest in this. The primary focus of things like the boundaries between these areas and how we might recognize those, and secondarily, concerns of local depletion. I'm informed that local depletion is an issue in Cook Inlet in particular, as it was in Sitka. I'm also informed that in areas like Kodiak and out westward, that the need for some of this is a lot less than it might be in areas where the fishing pressure is greatest. The idea was to revive the process, the public process, continue it, finish it, and make recommendations to the North Council so the North Council could take action relative to the local area management plans. That's a lengthy process. We're still talking 2 or more years out. But the choice is this, Senators. Either the Board of Fish is involved in it, or it's strictly 100% a federal process, a North Council process. We thought it was better, given the fact that the Board's processes are very open and very public, that it would be better to do it that way. The second thing that's come up is halibut subsistence. Again, this is in response to actions by the North Council establishing a halibut subsistence set of regulations. They adopted the qualifications for halibut subsistence, the North Council did, and said to the Board of Fisheries, would you please use your public process to, again, localize by a geographic area better ways to conduct a halibut subsistence so it has minimum impact on commercial fisheries, existing sport and guided sport, and so on. One of the problems was is when the council was considering it, for example, they were considering a longline halibut fishery with 20 hooks. That was going to be a statewide uniform halibut subsistence methodology. When you have areas like Cook Inlet where you have localized depletion and you have federal waters and you have a federal fish in that form of the halibut, that would be devastating to the commercial industries and to the charter and sport fishing industries. You cannot put that kind of pressure on a depleted resource. So the idea was, again, for the board to assist in developing these processes and make recommendations. And I mean recommendations. We have no legal authority over halibut, but we do have a good process that the council doesn't have in terms of getting public input, and we can make recommendations to these people. Now, when we did not particularly seek this particular method of funding, this was recommended to us as a source because the funds had sat for 3 years and not been used. So we said if there's going to be a reappropriation, we will explain to you what we want to do and how we want to do it and why we want to do it. And then, of course, it's up to you whether it's this funds or other funds or any funds at all. And the policy question for you is, has the board made a good call in being involved in local area management plans and halibut subsistence? And is that beneficial to the majority of users in the state? And if so, then we should proceed with the process. And if you and your wisdom decide it is not, then we should not. And other than that, Mr. Chairman, I'll answer any questions. Thank you.
Okay. Senator Hoffman.
Well, do you believe that the first call on halibut should be the subsistence use?
The halibut is a priority for that, for feeding people. Yes, sir.
Why did you say that you were asked to manage the subsistence activity to minimize their impact on charter and sports activities? Do you believe that as well?
Yeah, well, here's what I'm referring to. We have, and this is specifically with Cook Inlet, and it could also be Sitka Sound. We have localized depletion. What's a concern would be to place a large, high-impact type of fishery on those areas where you have localized depletion, because it would be first, and I should have said this, first detrimental to the resource, and second, detrimental to other fisheries. And there are methodologies where you can meet subsistence needs without having a 20-hook longline fishery imposed statewide. That might work very well out in Western Alaska or in Adak or Kodiak and those places where we don't have local depletion, but it would be very bad for places like Sitka, Prince William Sound, and Cook Inlet, where we do have depletion.
Well, how would you manage the subsistence take of halibut that would minimize the impacts on charter and sports fisheries and well, not affect the first call of subsistence take of halibut?
Well, let's be real clear. Here's my first priority is the resource. Then the second priority is the state priority for subsistence use. And so you got to put those in order. And part of this falls under this concept of the LAMP. So it may be, for example, in low abundance, you restrict the take by charter boats, for an example. Now, of course, we're talking about going on the road here to get this information from the public, so my answers are somewhat speculative. But, for example, in halibut subsistence, you could say, make it hook and line rather than long line. Because long line is, first of all, you can catch way more fish than you need. Second of all, you can catch a bycatch. But you say, what are the reasonable needs? Well, maybe it's 10 halibut is a reasonable subsistence need for an individual. I don't know. We'll try to find out. But you don't need to have a 20-hook long line skate to accomplish that. So we don't intend to take anything out of the priority, and we don't intend to limit unnecessarily. But the idea was we were fearful if the proposal from the council, which was basically a 20-hook longline, went in statewide, we would exacerbate circumstances where the resource is depleted already. And that's the answer. Thank you, Senator.
Any other questions from members of the committee? Senator Lehman?
Mr. Chairman, in the testimony we've heard, including Mr. Godfrey's response, I think there's probably two issues that are here that people really care about. And one, Dan, you addressed is this the proper source of funds to do these activities? And I can understand why the people testifying are concerned about, you know, at least the perception of not completing the other work. I don't know if it's been completed or not, but at least it's their perception that it hasn't. And then the second is moving into this area and, you know, actually being involved and perhaps appearing to be abetting what could be a take or a shifting of resources from a user group or several user groups into another one. And I think probably we should address the first one, you know, maybe decide if this is the right source of funds and maybe address the other one, you know, if we should be involved in this activity, maybe we should divide it up and that would help resolve this. I tend to agree with you that we ought to have involvement of people, but when I see what's happened with this, these subsistence fisheries, I think what gets out of hand is, first of all, we don't identify who the legitimate users are, or if we do, we identify in the wrong way. The class just becomes way too big. And second is that the amount that is provided is far too much. And so you have two things happening. You know, a class is too big, way larger than ever historically necessary. And then the other is the amounts are too large. And so we have all these abuses happening. And this is why people, like this number of people here today, you know, are testifying in opposition to it. So I think there's probably other ways to get to it.
Senator Osterman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Dan, for your testimony, because I think you clarified a lot of the issues, as Senator Lehman has just indicated. I think that the issue of taking Cook Inlet management money and using it for the Board of Fish is obviously an issue that we're hearing a lot about right now. And maybe GF would be a more appropriate way, because I do firmly believe, first off, that the Board ought to have a direct relationship with the North Pacific Fishermen's Management Council, because they are the ones that have the greater control over what Alaskans do in some of our fisheries. And if we don't have a voice within that group through the Board, then sometimes we end up our losers. And I think that the peacock fisheries, the jig fisheries, and pot fisheries that the board got involved with and actually took away some of the North Pacific fishermen's allocation of peacock and gave it to Alaska fishermen was a great thing. And I think that we need to have that continued interaction between the board and the council. So I firmly believe that we need to have both of these both the lamps and the halibut subsistence, and the board needs to be involved, so I'm totally in favor of the funding, again, where it comes from. Maybe GF would be a more realistic area to fund it for. The other issue dealing with subsistence, you know, I think part of it deals, the board has created somewhat of their own problem, because if you get into a subsistence issue of dip net fishing, for example, on the Kenai is the personal use on the up the river from Copper River, it's subsistence. Two same basic fisheries, two different classifications for it, and it confuses a lot of us as to how that happens. If I go get my permit to go fishing in Kodiak for salmon, for the 25 fish that I'm allowed, I go down to fish a game and ask them for my permit. They give me a subsistence permit to go get my fish. In reality, it's a personal use fishery for me. I don't, you know, it's not a subsistence issue with me. I don't need that fish to take it through the winter. So, you know, I don't know whether the board needs to get into some kind of more clarification on subsistence versus personal use to help clarify some of these issues so we don't get into them so heavily. I don't know if you want to respond to that.
Yeah. I always like tar babies and quagmires. The subsistence issues in Alaska, are, you know, they're deep and wide. The board, in essence, provides regulation for $1.5 billion fishery, and we're doing it for $200,000 a year is what it amounts to, which leaves us very little time for anything other than 25-day meetings in a row, and then everybody goes home. The rest of it's volunteer time, which is fine. So that's what's ongoing. There could be and maybe should be a role for the Board of Fisheries in subsistence. Statutorily, for example, the board, in conjunction with the Board of Game, can establish subsistence and non-subsistence areas. There's been no changes in those for years and years and years. The current statutory scheme doesn't provide for what happens when you have tremendous population growth in areas. And Senator Hoffman's area is an example of that, where the population in Bethel in those areas has grown dramatically. Subsistence use has grown, and right now we have a resource conservation issue that we're all aware of with regard to chum salmon and so on. Same things happen on the Yukon River, and we really don't have any effective statutory or regulatory ways to deal with that other than impose Tier 2 fisheries and then start distinguishing among our citizens who gets and who doesn't get, and that's a real unpleasant thing. So that could be addressed. The areas could be addressed. There's lots and lots that could be done that might very much improve our subsistence fisheries, answer the questions about the folks who are truly dependent, answer the questions about the folks who aren't truly dependent and who are really personal use fisheries and so on. Frankly, we don't have the resources to do it. We have been cut consistently, sometimes maybe legitimately and sometimes for out of an aimus toward the board or the board's decisions. What we have here now is a situation where there's been a board process in place for 20-plus years, and it's a policy question as to whether or not that's the way we want to continue to regulate our fisheries. There's been proposals for professional board, for example, full-time board, regulatory commission sort of model. But all of those are policy questions for you folks. I'm sort of down in the trenches, and I see it from my perspective as primarily the resource. And so when I see localized depletion of a halibut in Cook Inlet, I think we have an obligation to try to protect that resource, because there are state water fisheries and state regulated fisheries right in the middle of that, both commercial and sport and guided sport, and now subsistence. I mean, a year ago there wasn't subsistence halibut under the federal scheme under the North Council. So, I mean, that's new. It's not like, you know, contrary to what we heard earlier, it's not something the board invented. We could let it go. We could let them do it and just back away and say, go ahead. And they're going to go ahead. And if we don't do something by June, they're going to. So the question is, do you want us to do it, or you just want to leave it to them? And I can spend a fair amount of time telling you about the risk of just leaving it to them. And that's really what it comes down to. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Thank you,
Mr. Coffey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Appreciate the opportunity to testify.
And one other person signed up to testify.
Ms. Choice.
House Bill 117, I think, Sue Schrader.
Leave it to them.
Thank you, Chairman Donnelly and committee members. I'll keep this very brief. My name is Susan Schrader, and I'm here speaking on behalf of the member organizations of Alaska Conservation Voters. As many Alaskans, our members want to be assured that the state's limited general funds are being put to the best uses. As we witness state agencies and other entities, such as the University of Alaska, being required to account for every dollar appropriated to them, we request that a similar degree of oversight be afforded the general funds that are going to Arctic Power. Hopefully you have in your packets a copy of my testimony. It was circulated a couple weeks ago, so I'm not going to go through those questions. But those questions there, I think, are legitimate questions that we should be getting answers to. The money under consideration for Arctic Power's use is money that will not be available to address the many other needs around the state. Essentially, all Alaskans are being asked to help finance the oil industry's lobbying efforts. In return, I think it is only reasonable that we have a full public disclosure of how Arctic Power spends the state's money. And we encourage you to get this information and to make it public before you authorize any of these funds.
Okay, thank you. Any questions? Senator Lehman.
Chairman, in response to this testifier as well as the other one, let me tell you that I agree with you about the oversight by the legislature, the scrutiny and the accountability for all state funds. I certainly agree with you with that. I support this appropriation not because it's just helping the oil industry. I'm doing it because it's helping Alaska. So we will have an opportunity to take care of other needs in this state in the future, needs that you suggested. And it's a matter here, we're trying to balance a bunch of needs, and I don't view it as taking from other critical needs in the state, which we have right now, and putting it to this as much as investing in something that's very important to our state. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people in this country who don't understand the issue. And, and a lot of them, just geographically are on the East Coast of the United States, and it just takes time and money to educate them to the needs of Alaska. And so, I agree with much of what you're saying, and I'd like to see as much accountability and information as possible, but as we're dealing in a political system, we're having to spend money to take truth to people who in some cases, I know, because I've been there, I've gone to Washington, D.C. and taken truth to them, and they've told me privately, I agree with you, but I'll probably vote with my constituents because I don't perceive that they really want this. So, you can take truth to them, but they may do the political thing anyway. Anyway, Mr. Chairman, I just felt that we needed to get this on the table because I do agree that we need accountability.
Any other questions for the witness? Senator Hoffman.
Not a question, but, this whole appropriation came up at the last hearing we had on this topic, and there were requests from Arctic Power on how they were going to spend those dollars and how they spent their past appropriations, and I think that did they respond to your office and give you that information?
I'm not sure what all we've gotten in, but I'll try to, after this meeting, I'll try to make sure it's in everybody. If we've gotten anything, it gets in everybody's packets if it isn't there.
If I could just briefly respond to Senator Lehman's comment through the chair.
You may proceed.
I know there was perhaps not a question there, but it was a comment directed to me. And that is, again, I'm not here today to debate the wisdom of appropriating this money. What I am concerned about is that we expect all the other agencies, the Board of Fish, the University of Alaska, to have a full accounting on how they use these funds. And as Senator Hoffman has just asked, this committee asked for information over a week ago, and I'm not sure if you've got it, and certainly the public has no information on how these general funds are being used. And I'm just very uncomfortable with this exception that we're making for Arctic Power. And then it's basically an exception that we've made year after year after year as the legislature has appropriated roughly $500,000 every year to them.
Any other questions for the witness? Thank you.
Thank you.
I just state for the record that we have talked to Arctic Power. There is some serious and I think legitimate concern about answering every question that's been posed because they're in a strategy procedure here to try to win votes. And obviously there are people right here in Alaska that strongly oppose the goal of opening ANWR. And by totally exposing every item they would expend funds on in a manner that exposed their strategy, other people would take advantage of that and that don't want that same goal accomplished. So while I do strongly support accountability, and we may be proposing a shorter lapse date here to make sure these funds are used efficiently and quickly as possible to meet this particular demand, we should be careful not to allow those who would utilize the public process to try to get a special advantage in opposition to the goal that we're trying to accomplish here. Representative Senator Osmer.
This committee has the power of going into an executive committee meeting at any point in time that we deem it necessary, and it would be appropriate to do that if that concern is there. It would be appropriate, and it would also give us the accountability that we need to make a determination.
If any member wants to make a request to do that, I'd be happy to entertain it. Yeah.
We've requested information that we have not received, nor have we requested anybody's offered an opportunity to go into executive session with anything. So I don't have anything to go into executive session with right now.
Okay. All right. Moving on, and this is all the members of the public I had signed up to testify. There were a couple changes in the House version from the original Fast Track Supplemental, and I was wondering if any of the agencies wanted to comment on some of those changes. In particular, if the Department of Law wanted to comment on the deletion of the continuing costs for prosecution of the Bank of America case and the public safety litigation. Anybody else from the Department of Law?
Mr. Chairman, for the record, I'm Catherine Dottie, Director of Administrative Services for the Department of Law. Currently, we are in the process of mediating with the Bank of America, and we have a tolling agreement that runs through the end of this month. I think at this point in time, we just as soon wait and see how that goes, you know, whether there'll be settlement or not. If we have settlement, it may very well be the case that we could take this up in the course of the regular supplemental. And certainly we also have a piece that we may require for fiscal year 2002 if we go to litigation. So for purposes of the fast track, we didn't really feel like we needed to continue to have this appropriation, this item in that bill.
Okay, any questions for Department of Law? Senator?
Not on this point, but on a related one that is part of the transportation that affects the Department of Law and the consent agreement, that section 11... that was deleted by the House?
Section 11?
From the House bill, not the... It was deleted from the Senate's version.
Are you talking about the Copper River?
You're right, the Copper River.
Okay, that appears as Section 16, sub 5, I think. Do you feel like that's an issue you want to address, or that's probably a DOT, or...?
Mr. Chairman, the Department of Transportation is requesting those funds.
Okay.
They're denied here, and I would want to know from the Department of Law, if the consent agreement was not met, would there be further litigation, and how much that would cost, because we're talking about a consent agreement for $400,000, and maybe the legal fees and the penalties, if the injunction is awarded, may exceed that. And I wonder if the Department of Law could answer that.
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, we did make note of your question about that the last time you raised it, and it was my understanding that there was a letter. You should have received it. I saw a copy of the draft. I'll check and see. I don't recall the bottom line on it, but we do have that response for you, and it should have been sent. I'll follow up on that for you.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you. Thanks for being here today. Let's see. Did anybody from the administration that didn't sign up already want to comment on any of the changes in the House? Okay. You want to identify yourself?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. For the record, my name is Kevin Brooks. I'm the Director of Admin Services for Fish and Game. And I just had a couple comments on the reappropriations that you've heard about so far.
Could you just pause for a second? Yeah. If there's anybody out there from the executive branch who wants to comment on these, could you please sign in? So I would know who's out there and what section you want to talk about? Okay, if you would do that, it would be helpful. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With regard to the reappropriation for the Board of Fisheries, I just wanted to point out that You know, I've heard some of the testimony that these were federal funds, and I wanted to clarify that this is a appropriation that occurred in 1998, or SLA 98, came from the Fish and Game Fund. There were two purposes related to the Kenai River Area Plan studies. One was a boat lake study, one was an overcrowding study. The boat lake study's been completed, and I think there's been some work going on with the crowding issue that Kelly Hepler, our director from Sportfish, could address if the committee's interested. I also want to let the committee know that there is $60,000 available in that appropriation, so it would cover the amount of the reapprobes, which I think total 55. And then lastly, I just wanted to point out, too, that a few years ago there were changes made in Title 16 on the use of fish and game funds that require appropriations to go to Sportfish. And so since this appropriation is made for the board process, I think there's a technical amendment that would need to be made here to so that the reapprope would comply with Title 16. And I have some language I can read to you. It's just a one-liner. And that would just be that the appropriations made under B and C of this section are not subject to the provisions of 1605.110, Section B, which talks about the fish and game funds going directly into Sportfish. And it describes a fairly elaborate process of doing RSAs and things like that, which have to be in the budget. And given the nature of this supplemental bill, I don't think we can accomplish that. So.
Okay. You just take a second. Is there any questions, Senator Lehman?
Yes. Kevin, you heard the testimony this morning from those who are concerned about not completing at least their perception of what's being done. And you said there's some ongoing work on the, I think one of the testifiers said the river impact study, you said the crowding study. I think it's the same portion. If this money is reappropriated, is that going to cause that particular study to be delayed or not completed in any way? Or are these funds available and that other work is being held up or not completed for some other reason?
Through the chair, Senator Lehman, as I indicated, the boat lake study has been completed. I think Kelly can tell you the second piece of that was talked about the volume, you know, the volume study, and Kelly could tell you what the division is doing on that particular aspect of it.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, I'm Kelly Hepler, Director of Division of Sportfish. Through the chair, Senator Lehman, Paul Sciarduro, when he gave his summary this morning, was correct. The original CIP had two components. One is to do a boat lake study, which has been completed, and the final report is available this fall. There are still $60,000 remaining in that CIP, and what the committee is working on is what I characterize more as, I guess, a carrying capacity study, and they were moving forward on that. If this money is authorized to be reappropriated, then that money would not be available, and that study would be delayed. And I have talked to Director Stratton about a way to, if there's another funding possibility, but undoubtedly would not happen this year. Mr. Chairman, if I could just take 1 second, it's a matter of priorities. I think Chairman Kopp did an excellent job summarizing at least where we feel on this is that the council is going to meet in June and take final action. So it's a question of delaying one study to give money to another, I guess in my mind, more timely need of the money to deal with the council and sell subsistence issues. So it's a priority discussion.
If I could continue, how much money would you need to complete that carrying capacity study? All of the 60.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Lehman, I think the amount that the committee was working on was $40,000 is what they were going to use to complete that study.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, so we need a technical amendment, and I know you've sent an email to my staff on that too, so is the actual language included in the email we got?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. We'll work on that too. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I know we have the executive director, I think, of the redistricting board here. Did anybody want to ask any questions about the redistricting board addition that the House added? I think he's just available if anybody had questions on the amount of money there.
Okay, where is it?
We have a breakdown of that amount, Mr. Chairman, in the backup. I just don't remember and haven't looked at it in a while.
Yeah, we'll double check and make sure it's available.
And did any members of the committee have any questions on any other changes that were made by the House? A few others. After the redistricting board, we've already dealt with the Department of Law issues. There was the reduction in the gas line appropriation. There was the... and we do have folks available for that, too, if you had any questions on it. I think we've all seen these issues quite a bit already.
Chairman, there's,
Senator Hoffman?
There's one that I would like, if OMB could address the fast-track supplemental for 11. I received a memorandum from the department.
You mean Section 11, the tax division?
Right.
I know Senator Lehman's been working on that issue, Senator Hoffman. Senator Lehman, did you want to give us a report first?
From memory, here's what's happened. There's been a resolution of that issue between the North Slope Borough and the taxpayers, and you have that. The Department of Revenue, at our request, was to identify how much money has been spent. They won't need the full amount. And my memory was that they spent some, I think, $400,000, but I never should go off of memory. And my other ultra memory is out right now. But the department is right here. Larry Purcell was here. Maybe he could speak to that.
Sure. Senator Lehman, Hoffman, did you want to ask? Or if you just identify yourself for the record.
For the record, I'm Larry Pursley, Deputy Commissioner, Department of Revenue, and through the Chair, Senator Lehman, it's correct. We have adjusted the request down to $400,000 to deal with property tax issues. We have settled the one with the Prudhoe Bay oil and gas production facilities, but now we've entered into another dispute on the assessed valuation of the pipeline itself. The two combined is $400,000.
And you're going to be making an amendment to that? Okay.
Yes. Yes, we'll be recommending that out of the finance subcommittee.
Right. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Larry. All right. We do have one more person signed up to testify on the public testimony. Looks like it's from the Anchorage LIO. Anchorage LIO, are you there? Is Pam Miller there? Thank you for your testimony. With that, what I would ask is if members had requests for incorporation into a proposed committee substitute to get them into my office, and we'll try to all work on putting something together that incorporates these technical amendments that are needed and other technical changes and reassessed requests from the administration into that CS and have it back before us hopefully on Monday. And if there's additional amendments, I know Senator Olson is going to propose an amendment for some additional funding for the people of Kaktovik to deal with the Anwar battle here. There may be some other proposals, so we would try to put a CS together and then entertain amendments to the CS at that time. Comments by committee members? Senator Osterman?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I mentioned the executive session a while ago, and I think it may be appropriate for the chairman to contact Arctic Power and ask them if they're interested in coming down here and sitting across the table from us, maybe in an executive session, if that's what it takes. I'm not sure yet if that's what it takes, but if that's what it takes, to actually present their budget to us and tell us what they're going to use the money for and what they spent the money for in the previous time, it may behoove them to get off their high horse and come down here.
I would just say that I was in D.C. yesterday, and the Arctic Power people, most of them are in D.C. now, Mr. Toohey, and those people, and that's one of the reasons they couldn't be here today is because they're doing their job in D.C. and actually lobbying. We're at a crucial point in meeting both with Congressman Young, Senator Murkowski, and Senator Stevens. Right now, we're at the next 30 to 60 days is just crucial. So I think it's a reasonable request to have them here. At the same time, I think it's reasonable that they're in D.C. doing what we got to have them do right now, which our congressional delegation has strongly supported and asked them to do. So it may not be possible to get them here in person, Senator Osterman, simply because of the emergency situation that's going on with the trying to get the votes right now.
I've seen, Mr. Chairman, I've seen the list of people involved in Arctic Power, and it runs the whole side of an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper, and I'm quite sure that there's somebody involved in that organization. Even within the last week and a half, 2 weeks, that we started the conversation and asked for that information, and during that period of time, somebody could have walked across, got on an airplane, stopped here on their way to Washington, D.C., or whatever. Just a point.
We'll make sure that we have any written information that came in disseminated to the committee and to the public, too. Senator Lehman?
I didn't have my hand raised, but I'll tell you what I was thinking. I don't like executive sessions any more than we absolutely need to, because I don't like to have to sort out what I've learned in an executive session from what I learned in a public forum and then try to keep that straight for a long time. Not always easy. But in this particular case, I believe it's important to have accountability, and I believe the public needs to be assured that we care very much about taking care of these funds as much as we do at other funds. And in light of that, I would like to have some additional information on how this is going to be spent. I think I know about how it's going to be used because I think I understand the process. But I believe it's appropriate for us to ask and get some assurances from this organization. So whether we do it by telephone or them here in person, I don't really care. I think we could get some information that at least we in this committee can have access to.
I can tell the committee that it may be kind of a moving target, too, how they utilize the funds. And I think that's reasonable after meeting with Congressman Young 2 days ago. The dynamics of our congressional delegation differ from the Senate, the United States Senate, to the United States House. They have different thoughts of how to best accomplish our goals in opening Anwar for oil exploration and development. And those different strategies and methods require different types of expenditures. I think it's important that we understand they may not be able to tell us exactly what they intend to do with this money, because as you're dealing with a fluid, dynamic situation and trying to, in a war room situation where you're trying to accumulate the proper number of votes, you may need the flexibility to shift and utilize resources towards a new emerging goal that you and I anticipated even several days before. So after talking to Senator Murkowski, Senator Stevens, and Congressman Young, I really got a better sense of that and the seriousness of the situation they're facing right now.
Chairman, just to follow up on that.
Senator Austin.
And I appreciate your comments, and I'm not opposed to giving Arctic Power the 1.5. And I don't think that I need to fly back to Washington, D.C., though, to ask Congressman Young and Murkowski and Stevens whether Artie Power is doing the right job. I think Artie Power should be here. You know, if I go to a bank and ask for $2,000 or $20,000 to buy a car, first thing I have to do is fill out a financial statement showing what I've got. And I'm very frustrated over the fact that I got 2 weeks ago in my file for 117 for Arctic Power was one piece of paper with the bill itself asking for $1.5 million. And I have received some information since then, facts down to me, of what Arctic Power is. I haven't got a financial statement yet saying what they spent the money for, and I don't remember exactly. It's in the millions of dollars they've already spent. We don't have accountability of what they've done. And at this point in time, I'll have to be a no vote on it unless I actually get some information. Pretty plain and simple. I mean, me.
Other comments by members of the committee? Senator Kelly?
I would just say I agree with you that possibly the information it should be available of how they've spent the money in the past. I don't have a problem with that at all. But I think we really do have to weigh the consideration of the fact that there are people out there that are not acting in the best interest of the state of Alaska, and I believe that Arctic Power is attempting to act in the best interest of the state of Alaska. I do not want to give those who do not care about Alaska, who use Alaska only as a political chip, to gain favor with special interest groups, I don't want to give them a line-by-line detail of our strategy of defending the best interests of the state of Alaska. I agree with you, and I think maybe there should be a little more. But I am really reluctant to be laying out any strategy that is going to result in people being able to more effectively fight us opening ANWR. So, Mr. Chairman, it's going to be up to you to weigh those and how you come to that middle ground. I don't object to a little more accountability here. We really have to be careful.
Well, we have the weekend to try to talk about this, too, so hopefully we'll be back Monday and get some more information there and try to get it to people before then.
Are we taking this bill up again Monday?
I hope so. Senator Kelly and I have to set the agenda for next week yet. Well, this is Thursday. We'll produce it by this afternoon. We'll have a decision by this afternoon what our agenda is going to be for next week. Okay. Senator Kelly, do you have any further comments? Is there any other member of the public that hadn't signed up before that wanted to testify? Any other department or division had something they wanted to bring forth about the House version? Okay, with that, then, we'll go ahead and adjourn.